GOB 71. I wandered lonely as a cloud. I blame Shakespeare, Wordsworth, Hardy, Bronte, Burns and Tolkien, Turner, Landseer and Constable. Between them they've led us to believe in a unique British countryside of bare rolling hills, blasted heaths, heather-clad glens and friendly farmers in a pastoral heaven. If only you had been brought up on the Brothers Grimm, we might be in the vast forest tended by heroic woodsmen. Instead, we favour barren hillsides and fields worked by Farmer Giles. Our culture and memory is beset with blue-remembered hills where sheep can safely graze. Well, folks, the sheep should be safely grazing in the valley, not on those heavily government-subsidised hillsides. They should be rewilding from pasture to scrub to hanging woodland. Monarchs of the glen roaming in the gloaming are all very pretty, but the predator-free deer is artificially high in numbers and are stopping the Caledonian forests from regenerating. The upland heaths are only blasted because grouse-shooting interests burn them off to encourage new shoots for the farm-bred grouse to multiply in front of their guns. Our picaresque past is peppered with the wholesale slaughter of predators and the decimation of forests for pasture, then shipbuilding, pit props and railway sleepers. Bears, lynx and wolves were signed to history until we only have the foxes left for sport and the badgers left to eliminate instead of inoculating cattle against TB. What are we doing to restore the land to how it was before we decided that everything that swims, flies, walks or wriggles is bad unless it's fit for human use? Almost sweet F.A. A handful of beavers are still making their case, whereas the rest of Europe numbers have recovered into many thousands due to conservation efforts. The several hundred feral boar are seen as a threat to crops rather than as welcome returnees. Wild goats, chamois, et al. Across much of Europe are gone from a few dozen to hundreds of thousands. The last remnants of bison have been carefully nurtured back to flourishing herds expanding across international boundaries. We loudly and rightly condemn European hunters and the mass slaughter of songbirds, but we don't even whisper about their reintroduction of lynx and bears and wolves across their former range. A few brave souls tried to overcome our romanticised concepts to suggest that the rest of Europe can live with lynx, withstand wolves and are not bothered by bears. Yet we hang on to our delusion that we are animal lovers and pioneers of conservation. We don't love animals, we pamper pets. We do not conserve so much as set up tiny sanctuaries for the rightful users of the land to hide in. Back in the day, a handful of the great and good ladies got together to denounce the feather trade. They were the suffragettes of conservation. What we have now is not conservation, but conservatism. The National Trust preserves the monuments of past feudalism and lets their heirs chase foxes across their lands. Our government talks about the environment being safe in their hands, but will allow fracking beneath SSS eyes. Where are the conservation charities that should be on the front lines? What's the point of reintroducing hairy bumblebees if the honeybees are being killed off wholesale with pesticides? I don't eat meat, not because I'm sentimental, but because meat production is an inefficient way to grow protein, and the cost is rainforest destruction and third world hunger. I've never had sympathy for those animal rights campaigners stupid enough to release mink into the English countryside, nor have I saluted rich old ladies who leave their fortune to the cat's home. It's time to stop putting pets on a pedestal and thinking that cows are more important than badgers. We need a radical movement dedicated to the rights of wild animals over human self-interest, making nature's home people-proof.